Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O
Lord.
Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. But early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area. And all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to cast a stone at her." And again he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, in these two dramatic readings that we have, we see the terrible ugliness of sin. We also see the beauty of reliance on God. And third, we see how God responds to our prayers in the midst of dark valleys. First, the terrible ugliness of sin. Both the first reading and the Gospel, we have these elders, one who bring a false accusation of adultery, another who bring a true accusation of adultery. And we see how that would corrode their hearts. The first reading, we have two judges. You know, it's said that the lust of the flesh can attenuate over the course of time, but the lust of the heart can grow. And that's exactly what we see here. Two people willing to use their prestige, willing to use their office in order to get what they want. And if they don't get this woman to commit a mortal sin with them, they don't care that they're going to be assassinating her soul and theirs as well. They'll just condemn her to death by a total fabrication. In the Gospel, we see these elders who catch this woman in the very act of committing adultery. How would they have done that? How would they have known she was in the very act of committing adultery? It's because they were watching her. And why didn't they bring the guy who was caught in adultery along with her to be stoned? Because in a sense, they were soft on the guy. Because their hearts were full of adulterous thoughts. It wasn't so much the adultery of the guy that was the matter. They were going to use this woman as a pawn in a game to try to trap Jesus. It's the ugliness of sin at all times. When we begin to lust, when we begin to have those concupiscent desires, either to satisfy our flesh or to satisfy what we think are our material wants or to satisfy our desire for control and power, it just starts to corrupt us. And we go from a sin of the eyes and the flesh then to a sin of calculated mendacity, leading someone else to be murdered. Susanna teaches us what we are to do in a circumstance like that. She recognized that she was totally trapped. She said, "I am completely trapped. If I yield, it'll be my death. If I refuse, I can't escape your power. Yet it's better for me to fall into your power without guilt than to sin before the Lord." The great early saint said, "Better to die than to sin, to entrust ourselves to the Lord rather than to entrust ourselves to those who absolutely can't be depended upon and who will always betray us because they'll just say what they need to in order to get their way." Later, after she was falsely accused, Susanna cried out, "O eternal God, you know what is hidden and aware of all the things before they come to be. You know that they have testified falsely against me. Here I am about to die, though I have done none of the things with which these wicked men have charged me." Susanna turned to the Lord in prayer, which was entirely different from the attitude of the elders, whom Daniel tells us they had suppressed their consciences. They wouldn't allow their eyes to look to heaven in prayer. They didn't keep in their mind just judgments. What a contrast. And God heard the prayers of Susanna. In today's responsorial psalm, we prayed several times, "Even though we walk in the dark valley, we fear no evil, for the Lord is with us with his rod and his staff to give us comfort. He is our good shepherd. He hears our prayers." And he sent Daniel in order to rescue this woman. Daniel said at the very end, describing how they had grown evil with old age, that the whole assembly cried out after they had been exposed, blessing God who saves those who hope in him. Susanna had never lost that hope, and God, in fact, through Daniel, sent her to be saved. We see how God sent himself to save this woman truly caught in adultery in the gospel. St. Paul once remarked, and it's one of the, I believe, the most important lines for us to grasp theologically in the entire gospel, in the entire New Testament, that it's something when someone would die to save the life of a just man. But while we were still sinners, Jesus came to die for us. We can understand how God would send Daniel to save this woman unjustly accused. But today in the gospel, this woman was justly accused. But Jesus himself didn't send a prophet. Jesus sent him. Jesus went there himself. Something going on here after they tried to trap him. It really was a trap. If Jesus said, "No, she shouldn't be stoned," he would put himself in contradiction of the law of Moses, which he had said he had come to fulfill. But if he'd said, "Yes, she should be stoned," then two things would happen. First, he'd lose the love of the sinners whom he had come to call and to save, and whose special friend they were, because they would recognize that he, when he was trapped, would just allow them to be killed. He really wasn't there to save them. He was to allow them to die on account of their sins. And then second, Jesus would also put himself against the Roman authorities, because the Romans, when they came to occupy Palestine, said that we alone have the power to inflict capital punishment. You don't. If Jesus had given the green light, Jesus would have been precipitating his own troubles with the Romans. St. John tells us twice that Jesus got down and was writing, almost an indictment. Katagraphein is the Greek word, which is the used word to write an indictment, with his finger on the ground. And some of the great saints have said that what he was writing on the ground were the sins of all those with the stones in their hands, before he would say, "Let the one among you without sin be the first to cast a stone." And then we see how they all dropped their stones and wandered away, beginning with the elders, the ones who with Jesus' words would have recognized, best of all, what their malice was all about. Then Jesus turns, of course, to this woman. Jesus isn't soft on adultery. He doesn't give it permission. He drops, as after all those stones had been dropped, he said, "I don't condemn you, woman, but go and do not commit the sin any longer." Jesus knew that the sin that represents all sins is adultery. Throughout the Old Testament, the prophets were using the term adultery to describe how we cheat on God, how we go to serve other gods, gods of our own pleasure, etc. This woman was caught in adultery because we're all caught in adultery. We all need to be forgiven. We all merit to be stoned to death. But Jesus sticks up for us, just like he stuck up for this woman. He tells us he doesn't condemn us, but he also sends us forth not to sin anymore, not to continue in this adulterous path, or in this lack of loving path toward our divine spouse. In all of this, what do we see? Why do we see it on the beginning of this fifth week of Lent? Because exactly what was happening here would happen to Jesus. When people would rise up with falsity to try to condemn this just man to a shameful death. And it was at that point that God could have sent someone to rescue his son. But he allowed his son to be killed, to assume upon himself all our sins of adultery. He who knew no sin became sin, St. Paul says, in order to take away those sins. And God the Father essentially recognized, redeemed his son on the third day, rescued him from death, which is the wages of sin. As we prepare to receive that same Jesus who not only stuck up for this woman in adultery, but stuck up for us men and women caught in spiritual adultery many times over, we thank him for this gift. We thank him that while we have been in the valley of darkness, he's never left our side with his rod and his staff to comfort us with his overflowing mercy and out of love to send us without condemnation to sin no more. Let us ask him for the grace to be so united with him whom we're prepared to receive that we will go out and defend the innocent and the guilty like Daniel and Jesus have taught us today, so that we might be true sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. The stones that we are tempted to carry are meant to be put to build bridges of mercy between us and others, and ultimately between all of us and God. Praise be Jesus Christ.